The sermon or the sermon series title for the fall sermon series. This is really kind of the beginning of a church year. As we think about it, it's more like the school year than it is like the calendar year or the financial year. So we really kind of start up in September. And so the first sermon series is called God's Calling. And we've been using a red rotary phone, kind of like the one I grew up with, to advertise this. And so I'm sure there are probably some of our younger folks that look at that and say, what exactly is that? I know my kids probably, I don't know that it was ever around when they were growing up, but it's familiar to a lot of us. And so it occurred to me also as I was thinking about my sermon today that this whole idea of God calling us might seem a little strange, because we don't live in a Hollywood movie where George Burns, you know, shows up on our front steps, or Morgan Freeman calls us on the telephone and says, hey, this is God calling. Doesn't work like that. However, that doesn't mean that God is not calling. If there's anything that we learn from Scripture, it is that God does call. That's what he did in the past, over and over and over again, and that's what he continues to do even today. So for instance, if you turn to Genesis 12, when God decided that it was time to begin this kind of plan of salvation whereby he would save all of creation and all people and be reconciled with them because of the sin of Adam and Eve and because of the distance and the alienation that happened as a result of that, he went to one family living in a place called Ur, and he called Abram and Sarai to get up and to leave and to go to a place that he would show them. And they took that leap of faith. And as a result of that, God said, if you do this, if you're faithful to this covenant that I'm making with you, your descendants will be as great as the stars of the sky and the sands on the beach. And they did. They picked up and they went. And so from Abraham and Sarah to the call of the very first disciples who were fishermen in Nazareth, not the likeliest characters to be the apostles, to be the leaders of this world-changing movement. But that's who God called. And that's what we're really going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks, is how God continues to call us, continues to call the community of faith, oftentimes to do things and to be things that we're not entirely comfortable with. And what happens when we do that is that sometimes we push back, and sometimes there's resistance. And if anything, there is definitely the stories that we're going to be looking at for the next 3 weeks all have that in common. Today we're going to talk about the call of Moses and how Moses pushed back and said, you know, I'm not sure that I want to do that. Next week we're going to talk about Jonah, who is the poster boy for resistance, and how God managed to use him anyway. Great story. And the third week we're going to talk about the rich young man, whose story we find in the Gospels, which is another kind of sad story of one who resisted God's call. But we had a lot of choices. We could have gone with the story of Jeremiah, who, when God called him, said, I'm too young to do this. Nobody's going to take me seriously to be a prophet and to speak God's truth. We could have talked about Isaiah and the call of Isaiah, who said, I'm not good enough to speak God's truth. Or Gideon, who basically was a chicken. He was afraid. He was afraid to step out and do what God was calling him to do, and probably for good reason. But today we're talking about Moses. And what he did and what he didn't do and how God managed to use him anyway. So I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story of Moses, somewhat familiar with his backstory. Many of us have seen the Ten Commandments. We've seen the cartoons that have been made about him. It's a great story. It begins with Moses, of course, being born. He's born to a Hebrew woman named Jochebed, at a time when Pharaoh had ordered that all of the Hebrew baby boys be thrown in the Nile River and drowned. That was Pharaoh's command. And Pharaoh was basically like a god in ancient Egypt. You did what he said. And so Moses' mother did. She followed the letter of the law, but she put him in a waterproof basket first. And pretty smart. She followed the letter of the law, but she put him in the water, and his big sister Miriam followed the basket down the river until it washed ashore right next to the palace where Pharaoh lived with his family. And who should find this baby in a basket but Pharaoh's own daughter? And so Moses gets adopted into the royal family. And that's where he grows up. But in a twist that only God could have masterminded, the royal family reaches out to this woman who could serve as a wet nurse and a nanny, and it just so happened that it was Moses' biological mother. And so he actually wound up being raised essentially by his own family as he was growing up in this in the Pharaoh's house. And so we have to assume that he probably had some sympathy for the Jewish people and for their plight as slaves in Egypt, because when he was a young man, there's the famous story, he witnessed a slave master beating a Hebrew slave. And he reacted to that so violently that he actually killed the slave master, hid his body in the sand, and then he had to flee. He was now a wanted criminal. And so he left, and he went to a place called Midian, and he settled among the Midianite people. And they were shepherds, and they were nomads, and so that's what he became. And he married a Midianite woman by the name of Zipporah, and they started a family together, and he lived there for 40 years, a long time. He basically became a Midianite and thought that, all of that other stuff was in his past. And then one night, when he was out watching over his flocks by night, God called. Yeah, just like that. Boy, that got your attention, didn't it? God called. Except it didn't sound like that. It was more like a burning bush. In fact, that's exactly what it was, a burning bush. Only time in Scripture God ever communicates that way was in this story. Before, since then, never has that ever happened again. But that night, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and he was calling him to do something that was really almost unbelievable. He wanted him to go back to Egypt and to confront Pharaoh and to demand from Pharaoh that he let the Hebrew slaves go free. Now, Moses had a lot of reasons to say no. He could have said, I'm too old. He could have said, I'm wanted back there. They're going to throw me in jail. He could have used any of these reasons. But the reason that he uses is the one that I think makes this story the most accessible to almost any of us. Because when you get right down to it, basically Moses says, I'm too insecure to do this. I'm not good enough to do this. What God was asking him to do was speak on God's behalf. And speaking was something Moses felt like he didn't do very well. Now, we don't know if he was a stutterer. There's been a lot of suggestions as to what was wrong. He might have been a stutterer. He might have had a lisp. He might have just been slow on his feet. He might just not have been, and some of the things he says seems to point in that direction. But either way, for Moses, it felt like a deal breaker. Like, this is not something that I can do. And so we read a part of his conversation with God in Exodus chapter 4. And we're just reading four verses out of this section. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you've spoken to your servant. And it just occurred to me as I looked at that, maybe he thought, well, since God did reach out and touch me, maybe it's going to make me speak better. And as soon as he started to speak, he realized, nope. It's no better. I'm no better. He goes, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. I love that last part. Oh, my Lord, please send someone else, anyone, just don't send me. Now, does it seem to you at all like God might have a sense of humor? It does to me. I mean, he could have picked anybody. He could have picked someone with one of those golden baritone voices. I know you've heard them before. I've heard preachers. I've always wished I had one of those great baritone preacher voices. Bill Mitchell has about as close to a perfect preacher voice as anybody I know. But I don't have that. I was born a tenor, and I know tenors are great, but we just don't have that rich kind of... But You know, so he could have picked somebody with a voice like that. He could have picked somebody without a criminal record. But no, he picked Moses. If that's not funny, I don't know what is. And God, this seems to be God's MO, actually. This seems to be how God works. He more often than not, he picks the least likely person to do the job. When he picked Abraham and Sarah, he picked two people that should have been basically rocking their retirement years away. I mean, they were that old. But he calls them to get up and go and to start a family and to populate the world. He called David when he was just a boy. Didn't look anything like a king. He called Saul. I mean, this story is probably one of the most remarkable. He called Saul to be an apostle to the Gentiles and to take the good news to the whole world when Saul was an enemy of the church. He was a persecutor of Christians. He hated Jesus and everything that Jesus stood for. And yet, he was the one that God called. So you can see this seems to be God's MO. And speaking as one who has also experienced God's call, I can verify that God does have a sense of humor. When I was growing up, one of the things my dad used to say, and I still don't know why he used to say this, but he used to say, "David, whatever you do, don't be the class clown." I don't know if he had a bad experience with that or if he just thought that that would ruin my prospects professionally, or I don't know, but he always said that. So, they still tell this story in my family. So what is it that I get elected my senior year of high school? But class clown. So, and just to let you know, I wasn't always considered the greatest prospect for being a pastor. That may surprise you. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But when I was a junior in high school, our guidance counselor actually made me, for a while, I don't remember how long this lasted, but he made me take around a piece of paper every day, and my teachers had to sign off on it, and then I had to turn it in at the end of the day to show that I'd behaved myself. Okay? I wasn't a fifth grader. I was an 11th grader when that was happening. So, and I wasn't a bad kid, but I would do anything for a laugh, pretty much. And I like to have a good time. And so I had a lot of friends. I had lots of friends. Imagine their surprise when I told them, around that time actually, that I was feeling like God might be calling me to be a pastor. A lot of them thought I was joking. They did. In fact, the girl I was dating, I'd been dating her for a year and a half, something like that, she thought I was joking. Now that almost broke my heart. To tell somebody that, something that's really kind of touched you, and to think, well, they're not seeing it. They're not seeing it, and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling this. But here's the thing that we learned about God. He sees potential in us that neither we nor anybody else may have ever noticed. That's what God does. That's how God calls us. God looked past Moses' criminal record. He looked past his being slow of speech. And he saw in Moses one who could lead his people out of slavery, could deliver the law to the people, could shape a community. That's what he saw when he looked at Moses. Now, of course, that didn't keep Moses from arguing with him, and it doesn't keep us from arguing with God when he calls us either, especially when he calls us to do something that is out of our comfort zone, which is typically how he calls us. I think where we're most comfortable is doing things that we're really good at, things that we know a lot about. And it's not to say that we aren't supposed to do those things too. We are. But more often than not, when God calls, he's not going to call us to do something that we're already good at. He may call us to do something that we have no visible sign of being good at. And yet he wants us to answer that. And if you think about it, what better way to show that it's God at work and not something in us already than to call us, those people that don't have any of those skills or abilities, at least don't seem to, and then to do the job through those vessels. I think that's pretty smart on God's behalf, and that's what he does. A couple of years ago now, we were working as the elders of our church, were working on what we call our core values. And we identified 10 or 11 core values. And the very first one that we identified was this one. We are a community of people striving to follow Jesus Christ. And that we were really close to consensus on this. I mean, it seems to me like that's exactly what a disciple of Christ is one who follows Jesus, one who strives to follow Jesus. And it was at that time that Jim Vandenberg spoke up. Jim is our new elder chair, and he said, I don't think it should read that way. I think it should say, we are a community of imperfect people who are striving to follow Jesus Christ. And there was no argument, because he was absolutely right. We all agreed that that's the way it should read, because we are imperfect people who are called upon by God to share a perfect message. We are earthen vessels, as the way Paul describes it, and we have been called to share that message, whether we feel like we're worthy of it or not. So the question then is, how are we going to respond? C.S. Lewis said, there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those who say, to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. And what's funny is that sometimes those can be the same people. Those two responses can be in the same person they were for Moses. Now, when we started off reading the story, Moses says, send someone else, anyone else. And if you keep reading, what you find out is that God says, all right then, have it your way. He says, your brother is coming, and his brother's name, Aaron, is coming. Aaron speaks really well. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what to say, and you're going to tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron's going to tell Pharaoh. And what I love about that part of the story is that what it tells me is that God always has a plan B. He always has a backup plan in his back pocket. If his first choice says no, then he's like, okay, we've got another way we can do this. We can get around this problem. And yet, if you continue to read in the story, what you find out is that God goes from saying, all right, then have it your way, and eventually Moses comes around to thy will be done. And we're back to plan A again. I believe that God is calling us at First Christian Church to be and to do great things in this community, in the tri-state area. And I believe that he can and he will do great things with us. The question, of course, is not whether or not we've been called, because we have. We've all been called. And I want you to know that. So that isn't the question. The question is, how are you going to respond? Are you going to be the one to whom God says, all right then, have it your way? Or are you going to say, thy will be done? Now, the good news is that it doesn't really matter which way we answer, because God's purposes will always be served. I'm convinced of that. God will just find somebody else to do it. I want to be a part of what God is doing, and I think you do too. Don't you want to be a part of what God is doing? If that's the case, if you want to be a part of that, then the quicker we can get to thy will be done, the better. And I look forward to discovering how we answer that call in this coming year as we journey with Jesus into the world. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you that you are a Lord who guides us and is with us in the midst of life, that you have called us out of our comfort zones, that you've called us to do and to be things that maybe we don't know anything about yet, but we know that you will not only call us, but you will empower us and give us all that we need in order to do, to follow that calling. Therefore, we ask that you would bless us and be with us as we continue in our worship and as we go forward today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.